Welcome into the Wizards Group Chat Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Oliver, again back with Chase Carroll. Chase, how are you, man?
I'm doing great, Ryan. I think the Wizards, they made a big move today, and I think it's giving the team a direction that I think a lot of us as Wizards fans have wanted for a long time. We're finally heading that direction. Maybe we didn't get the biggest return out of it, but we got something out of KP who could have walked for nothing, really. So we're heading in a rebuild, and this is a direction I think Wizards fans have wanted for a long time. So I'm happy, man. I know it's my sentiment is probably shared by a lot of Wizards fans. Not all, but I'm happy personally, and I'm ready to see what we're doing tomorrow in the draft.
Yeah, Chase. So the trade looks like it's going to be, we have Porzingis opting into his contract, and I guess from there, he worked with the front office to find a location that, or a destination, I should say, that he would be happy with. And it kind of looks like a deal that's going to work for the three teams involved. So right now we have Kristaps Porzingis headed to Boston. Malcolm Brogdon heads to the Los Angeles Clippers, and the Wizards receive Gallinari, Marcus Morris Sr., Amir Coffey, and the 30th pick. And that pick is coming from the Clippers. Those are the details we at least know right now. The trade is not finalized. Also, the Bradley Beal trade is not finalized either. So both of those trades could see different parts added or things like that. But I think this is the core of the trade. Obviously, all these contracts, I believe, coming to the Wizards are expiring. I'm not 100% sure about Amir Coffey's contract, but I know Marcus Morris Sr. and Gallinari are both expirings, and obviously the prize of this trade is the 30th pick. I'll start with my opinion of this trade. I don't think it's a home run, but I think it's a very good trade for the front office. Porzingis did not have to opt in. He could have opted out and tested the market, and I'm sure there would have been plenty of teams interested. I do think the market on Porzingis maybe wouldn't have been as fruitful as he would have liked, which is probably part of the reason he did opt in. I just mean fruitful in the sense of there aren't a ton of good teams with cap space. So I feel like if you're trying to be on a good team, which it seems like he wanted to play for a team that was at least competing on some level by going to Boston, you can see that. I think that it was in his best interest to work with the Wizards to find a destination that worked for him and an asset that worked for the Wizards, and that asset being the 30th pick. So, Chase, what was your just initial reaction when you saw the trade, come across your phone? I'm sure it was like a Shams bomb, came across your phone.
I was excited by it personally. As I mentioned before, and as you just mentioned, he could have walked away for nothing if he really wanted to. Obviously, his $36 million player option, he probably wasn't going to get $36 million on the market. So this is a good thing for him and for us. I think getting the 30th pick in the draft, it's not the best value for a guy of Kristaps Porzingis, his caliber, but that's another first round pick to work with in a really deep draft, in my opinion. So I'm excited to get yet another draft pick there. We now have four draft picks to work with tomorrow night, depending on when you're listening, Thursday night. Pick 8, pick 30, pick 42, pick 57. So that's some ammo to work with. Ideally, you could even package a couple of those to move up. For example, maybe 8 and 30 gets you up a couple spots to 6, or 30 and 42 gets you into the early 20s. So there's ammo to work with in tomorrow night's draft. And that's just not even going into the cap flexibility this really brings us beyond this year. If you look at the contracts for beyond 2023, 2024, there's only three or four guys under contract. You got Daniel Gafford making $13.3 million in 2024. Corey Kispert and Johnny Davis will both have team options just over $5 million. And Amir Coffey, he will be under contract beyond this year at just $3.9 million. So he's not even going to really do anything to the cap. And he's just 26 years old. Right. So he's a young player that you can work with and see what you got out of him. By all accounts, he's shown to be a pretty good scorer himself. So he might get a chance here in Washington to show what he can do. But overall, you're getting another pick out of Porzingis who could have just walked away for nothing. So to me, this trade's a win. And I thank Kristaps for his time here. He was an awesome player. Obviously, he's leaving on a better note than Bradley Beal. So the fans will appreciate him at least getting us something for him. But all in all, I'm happy today. I'm happy with the direction the Wizards have decided to go. They're going to rebuild. I don't even know if you can consider a rebuild. They haven't had 35 or over 35 wins in, what, 4 or 5 years? So this is just the build. It won't be much worse than it already has been. Ideally, you know, if they do win, what, 20, 25 games, how much worse is that really than what it's been? So that's 1 year of probably bad basketball. And then cap expert Michael Winger has nothing but cap space to work with beyond this season. So all in all, I'm happy with what happened today.
I think the thing that's just been the most exciting to me, and I've mentioned this on our previous two podcasts, is that there's a clear direction going forward. And this is the first trade that really shows hey, we're going to take on some bad salary and take with a pick attached. Now, Marcus Morris's salary isn't terrible because it's only for 1 year, but he's still making $17 million, and he's not a $17 million player at this point in his career. So the Wizards are taking him on just because of that pick. I think a under the radar aspect of some of these trades, where you're getting a Gallinari back, you're getting a Morris back, or you're getting, you know, an Amir Coffey back, who's a young veteran who and has had a few good moments for the Clippers, but has kind of gotten buried in their rotation, you know, because the Clippers have had a lot of good players. But what I'm saying is the under the radar aspect is you have to field a team. You can't just have a bunch of, you know, the two guys they pick in the first round this year and the 2 second round picks they potentially pick, and with Danny Kispert, Johnny Davis, and Gafford, and that be you know your whole team. You have to have some veterans. You want those type of guys on the roster. So I don't know if Gallinari and Marcus Morris make it to opening night or not. They very well could be flipped for all we know, but I don't think that those are the worst guys to have around. If you do, especially if you draft a young point guard like an Anthony Black or something like that, you want them to have veterans to pass the ball to, guys that can actually knock down shots to help him actually learn, because you don't want him to go and just be around a bunch of young guys and it's like an AAU team. So I think that getting these veterans that are going to be motivated to show what they can do. Marcus Morris hasn't played that well over the past couple of seasons. So, and he's in the contract year, so he's not going to be loafing around. He's going to be motivated to put up numbers and play hard. And same with Gallinari. He's been off for a year after a torn ACL. You don't think Gallinari is going to be motivated to play hard and potentially get traded to a contender and prove he's worth another contract of some sort. So I think that's an under the radar aspect of some of these trades. I'm not saying that they're going to make our team good, but I think that veterans are important to have around, and especially if you're getting them with a pick attached and there's no long-term attachment to the veterans. So the fact that they're picking a clear lane is really exciting to me. And I'm really excited to see what they have cooking for tomorrow, whether that's, I think a trade up to the 20s from 30 and attaching those second round picks is a more likely scenario than them moving up from 8. I just think 30 is like too far back where the teams in the early lottery are going to be really interested in taking just to move up, because the 30th pick is, you know, more or less a second round pick essentially. You know, it's not, you know, like pick 20 where you're kind of right in the middle there, but it's definitely an asset that gives you ammo to do some fun things. So with how quickly they're moving, and I guess they had to do this today because of Porzingis' deadline to opt out. With how quickly they're moving with these moves, I'm really just, it just is exciting to me. It's a breath of fresh air that the front office is being aggressive and being in finding avenues to bring in draft compensation and to bring in that equity to make moves down the road. So it's just a really exciting thing.
Yeah, absolutely. You mentioned Danilo Gallinari, just a year left on his deal. That's a veteran who's played well in situation like this in OKC. Obviously, last year he had his knee injury, but you can bring him in at just $6 million a year, and there's conceivably a lot of playing time for a guy like that right off the bat. You could play up his value, go ahead and trade him for something at the deadline to a contender who could use a guy like Danilo Gallinari if he does still have something left in the tank. I'm not as confident in something like that happening for Marcus Morris at 17 mil, but again, the same thing could happen there with him if he does end up having a year where he rejuvenates himself and with a lot of time, he can maybe do that. But you do get a guy like Amir Coffey. I'm really excited about 26 years old. So he's been in the league a couple of years. He's really shown at the G League level to be a really good scorer. Behind Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, guys like that there in LA. So he hasn't really gotten a chance to showcase himself, but when he has had that opportunity, he's actually taken good advantage of it. For example, a couple seasons ago, I don't know if, well, I know a lot of Wizards fans are going to remember this game. The Wizards blew that 35-point loss to the Clippers. He had a career high at that point, 29 points in that win. Since then, he's had a new career high of 35 and 13 against the Thunder. So he's shown to be productive when he does get that opportunity, and he's going to get that chance here in Washington. But getting that 30th overall pick, as you said, there's opportunity to trade up. But if they do stay there at 30, there's been a lot of good players in recent years who have gone 30 overall. For example, Jimmy Butler, Desmond Bane, and a couple seasons ago, Kevin Porter Jr., Josh Hart. So there's good value to be had there at pick 30 if they do decide to stay there. And with this front office, I'm more excited with that potential there at pick 30 than I did maybe when Tommy Shepard was in office. Maybe a better chance at striking gold there at pick 30 and beyond than we had with the previous front office. So tomorrow's a really exciting time to be a Wizards fan in my eyes. Four swings at the draft. To me, this is the most exciting draft since the John Wall draft, where we knew we were getting John Wall first overall. So there's a little more mystery with this one, but I'm excited to see what happens. There's a lot of potential there in the top 10 for where we could go. And honestly, there's a lot of different picks that I'd be happy with. So I'm excited to see what this front office does.
Yeah, I'm excited too. I'm not a super draft expert, so I won't play one here on this podcast. But is there a player at 8 that you're a player, you know, let's actually frame it like this. Are there a few players that you would be happy with if the Wizards picked at 8?
Absolutely. There's a lot of talk that maybe Cam Whitmore has been doing pretty poorly in workouts, so he might slip to 8. That's a guy I like as far as a wing. I'm still on board the Anthony Black train, but the more reports come out that a lot of teams like him, I'm thinking somebody might trade up ahead of the Wizards at 8 and snag him in front of us. So I wouldn't be mad if we even traded back and added even more draft capital, say someone like OKC, who has a lot of capital to work with there at pick 12. Maybe you trade back and get a guy like Kobe Bufkin, who apparently the Wizards are very high on. I'm pretty high on him as well. You could get a guy like Kayson Wallace there at 12 as well. I wouldn't really want either of them, I don't think, at 8. So depending on who's there at 8, I would really, there's so many options that the Wizards could go with here early in the draft. And as we said, they have more picks to work with. They probably won't be able to trade up higher than 8 with those picks, but there's potential there as well. Maybe, I don't think so, but lots of different avenues the Wizards can go here. I kind of want a guard personally. I think rebuilds seems like a lot of teams like to get their guards in place to start the rebuild. And I'm kind of that belief as well, but if there's a wing there that they think is a can't miss prospect, like a Cam Whitmore, go ahead and take that swing. They have the ability to now take swings that, you know, they maybe didn't have before when they were trying to fill the roster for a playoff push. Now you can take those swings.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the player that I would ideally want is Oscar Thompson. I think that if he was available at 8, I think that would be the person I would be like ecstatic to get. I think the athleticism and the skill is really tantalizing. And I feel like there's so much upside there. That he probably has the highest star upside of the players that are realistically going to be available. I think I hadn't really thought much about Cam Whitmore because I just didn't think he'd be available. So I feel like my brain isn't quite processing that that's a player that would be available, because there was so much talk about him being going to the Pistons at 5. And now they seem to be kind of headed towards Jairus Walker is kind of the favorite to go in that spot now, according to the experts, quote unquote. So it's going to be interesting to see, but I think the players I would be happy with the most would be Oscar Thompson, Cam Whitmore, and Anthony Black. I don't know as much about the Kobe Bufkin kid. I know that that's been kind of There's been a lot of hype amongst just the buzz and, you know, coming from the reporters that's the player, like you mentioned, that the Wizards are kind of identifying. And I know, you know, the Wizards Twitter people are kind of coming around to him saying, hey, like, you know, I see a lot of he gives me like D'Angelo Russell, but much better defender vibes. And I was big on D'Angelo Russell coming into the league the year he got drafted. And he honestly isn't as good as I thought he was going to be in the long run. But we have seen, you know, all-star flashes from D'Lo. So if Bufkin could be a version of that, that's a more consistent, more athletic, and better defender, which is a lot of buts or a lot of, you know, things to add on. But if he could be like that, I would be ecstatic to get that guy at eight. You know, I think that could be if he is that that type of player. So that is exciting. I think that I will trust the front office no matter what they do. I just don't want them to take a center. I mentioned that on the last podcast. I think that would be the only disappointment to me. Like, where I'd be like, oh man, they took a center. But I just have a hard time seeing them doing that with such a high pick. But I want to ask you a little bit about Kyle Kuzma and his pending free agency. He opted out of a $13 million option he had with the Wizards. What do you think is going to happen with Kuzma? And do you think the Wizards could use him as an asset in a sign and trade so he could get where he wants to go and maybe the Wizards could get some type of asset in return?
Absolutely. You know, Kyle Kuzma, great player for us. I would have loved to have him back if they were deciding to go the playoff route, but thankfully that's not the route they're going. They're going to go full rebuild. So it doesn't make sense to bring him back here, but by all reports, sounds like he's looking for at least $30 million per year on the market. I don't think he'll reach that, but I think he could reach maybe 25 mil per year on the market. And as we've mentioned here earlier on this podcast, there's not many teams with a ton of cap space to work with. So that's a tough number to reach. So ideally you could get something for him in a sign and trade. We have all the cap space now to work with, all the flexibility that we want to be able to take a sign and trade like that. We can get off more, get teams off their bad contracts like we just did here with the Clippers. Ideally, you could do that again with Kyle Kuzma, because we're not going to be signing him, but some team could use a Kyle Kuzma. I see a lot of contenders seem to be interested in a guy like Kyle Kuzma, and for good reason. He's shown to be a third or fourth option on a championship team. So why not go after a guy like that, who here in Washington actually showed even more than he did in LA? He showed the ability to create for himself, which wasn't always shown there in LA, and that wasn't his fault, but kind of who was around him. Obviously, playing next to LeBron and Anthony Davis, you're a little different player than you are in Washington when you're playing next to Bradley Beal, Kristaps Porzingis. So he got to show more of himself here this year, and he's probably going to get a big payday because of that. So good on him. Like Kristaps Porzingis, I loved him here, but just doesn't make sense this year to bring him back. So I hope he's able to fetch his money on the market. And because of that, we should be able to at least net something for him, I think.
Yeah, I'm not sure what to think of the Kuzma thing in terms of the asset coming back for the Wizards. There hasn't been much specific buzz about, oh, this team really wants to sign Kuzma. Usually you hear that, like you hear about the Rockets really wanting Harden, or, you know, Philly has, you know, if Harden doesn't come back, Van Vliet is an option for them, or you just hear that. And I think we've heard a few things about, oh, a team like Indiana might be interested in Kuzma, but you don't hear these three teams are really going to make a hard push for Kuzma. So I'm not really sure what to make of what his market's going to look like. He's clearly going to have a market. Some team is going to pay him, you know, 25 million plus, probably near what he wants in the 30 million, somewhere in that range. But I feel like I have a hard time identifying which team that is that's going to also make sense for Kuzma, because I wonder what Kuzma's priority is going to be. Is he going to want the money the most, or is he going to want the best team in terms of a chance to contend? Because I could see a team, you know, like the Rockets, for example, they could definitely use like a young vet, a guy that's a professional that can play minutes and teach the young guys. But at the same time, Kuzma's going to want to play. And they have young guys that need to play. So how do you balance that with some of the rebuilding teams, even like Detroit? He's from Michigan. If they wanted to bring him in, but they're also drafting a Jairus Walker type who also plays the four. How do you balance that when you already have, you know, Isaiah Stewart and why is his name? Wiseman. I couldn't think of his name for a second. James Wiseman and Jalen Duren. And you have these other guys that are, I know those are centers, but you also just have guys that are playing in the front court where Kuzma's going to play too. So, I guess he could play some three for them too, but I just wonder where that fit is for Kuzma. And I can't put my finger on a destination. I say, oh, this makes a lot of sense. The only team that really comes to mind for me that I could say, hey, I really could see the fit is Sacramento. And I know that they've had interest in him in the past, but he kind of plays the same position as Murray. So, you know, they both could play the three theoretically, but it's not a perfect fit either. So is there a destination that you could see him fitting in particular? Does anything come to mind?
For me, I could see a team like Memphis. They could use probably a secondary creator with Ja Morant suspended for quite a bit. I could see maybe they, I don't know how I haven't looked at their cap situation or anything like that. So I don't know what kind of contracts they could send back or what kind of draft capital they have. But I could see them wanting a guy like Kyle Kuzma who can create for himself, create for others. He showed that here in Washington the last couple seasons that he's a pretty good creator off the dribble. So I could see that being a potential destination. I do like the Kings as a potential destination. And like you said, the Rockets definitely would make sense if they want to get some vets in there. Kyle Kuzma showed to be a great veteran player here for the past couple seasons. He really took the young guys under his wing. Denny in particular seemed like Corey Kispert really liked Kyle Kuzma. So guys like that really gravitated to him. And I think the Rockets could certainly use some veteran presence in that locker room. So that would definitely make sense as well. I don't know what their caps, they probably have a lot of cap space and could sign him outright. So I'm not super upset if he leaves, you know, just walks outright. Obviously I want something for him and we have the cap flexibility to do it. So hopefully he wants to go to a contender, which by all means, it seems like he's the type of guy who likes winning, but also wants to showcase himself. So the best of both worlds there, I could see Memphis being the destination and hopefully that's someone who's in the mix.
Yeah, I have seen the Lakers have some reported interest in a reunion. I guess I think they would have to acquire him via sign and trade unless they wanted to make a bunch of cap maneuvering. And I guess that would involve somehow renouncing rights to like Rui and finagling the Austin Reeves signing. And it seems like a bunch of hoops to jump through to sign him outright. So I wonder if a sign and trade would interest them. I think that would kind of be a weird fit if they were bringing back Rui and Austin Reeves in addition to trying to bring on Kuzma too. But I think they had the contracts to make it work in terms of sending back salary to the Wizards, but it would really come down to what asset they would be attaching to make it worth the Wizards' while. And they have the 17th pick, but I don't think that would be something they would be trying to give up in that type of deal. So I don't know how exactly that would work, but it seems like every time a pretty good player comes available, the Lakers or the Clippers are inevitably one of the destinations that gets mentioned, even if they don't have the requisite resources to make it happen. So who knows whether that's realistic or not. But either way, I think that we both wish Kuzma well, no matter what, how it pans out. I don't think I have high hopes that we get an asset for him. I feel like they, you know, of course, Tommy Shepard and them missed the boat at the trade deadline when all the writing was on the wall that they should flip Kuzma for what they could get. You know, we always hold the bag on these assets and don't do anything in a timely fashion. And I really hope to see that change with this front office to be proactive and kind of see the writing on the wall with things and make moves accordingly. And so far, I think so good. I think I've come around to be more neutral on the Beal trade and kind of accept things for how they are and give the front office a chance to cook. And we saw some cooking today by getting the 30th pick from the Clippers in that Porzingis trade. Chase, is there anything else you want to touch on? I'm excited for the draft. I know you're excited. Is there anything you want to touch on before we wrap up?
No, man, I'm excited for tomorrow. Like I mentioned before, I think this is the most exciting draft since the Wall draft, which has been over a decade. So, we've made the choice to go rebuild or in my opinion, build. We're starting from scratch. We're going to have all the cap space to work with. So some are upset. Some aren't going to be able to watch the Wizards this year and be happy with the product on the court. If you can view it as this is just 1 year of rebuild and next year they have all the cap space to work with. They're going to have hopefully draft picks, 3 or 4 draft picks to work with this season to watch them grow. I'm excited, man. I'm excited with the direction the Wizards have actually chosen to go, because there were reports that maybe they could have brought back KP and Kuz and just reran it with Chris Paul. And I would not have been happy with that direction. So I'm happy they decided to go this route.
Yeah, I'm happy too. I know everyone in the Wizards fan base is really excited for the future here. It might be a couple years where we're not that good of a team, obviously, but at least we have a direction. The draft is always exciting, but it's even more exciting with the Wizards having 4 picks and new leaders in charge. Really quick before we get out of here, I want to thank all the love we've been getting on social media and the people that have listened to the podcast so far. The Wizards Group Chat podcast is available now on all platforms where you listen to your podcast. So, you know, obviously, please, you know, rate, review, subscribe, all that good stuff. We have some great content coming for you, obviously, throughout the offseason and the upcoming season and beyond. I'm sure we'll have a draft recap podcast on the horizon within the next 36 to 48 hours for you guys. But it's a really exciting time, Chase.
Absolutely, man. I'm excited for what we got going on this offseason and beyond.